of it.
Today, we are giving our reaction to the highly anticipated and much talked about album of the moment.
One of the albums of the decade, probably.
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, I've been reading reviews. Their reviews are mostly positive, yeah. But reviews are mixed. People have criticism. People have glowing praise. We're gonna talk about a lot of things related to Renaissance Act Two, aka Cowboy Carter by the singular Beyonce, yeah. Today on Take This Pod and Shove It. And I feel like the way to introduce all of this is to actually quote Willie Nelson from one of the yeah. tracks of Cowboy Carter. I think this is how we get into it. This is on a song, more of a sketch, called Smoke Hour 2, which also, I do love yeah. that this album has sketches. That
it's
is
great.
So great.
So did Lemonade.
Yeah, right. It had those like,
spoken
those,
word, like, interviews, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Moments. Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. So on the track Smoke Hour 2, we've got Willie Nelson saying this. You've turned into KNTRY Radio Texas, home of the real deal. And if there's one thing you can take away from my set tonight, let it be this. Sometimes you don't know what you like until someone you trust turns you onto some real good shit. And that is what we have done and will continue to do
yes.
here on Take This Pod and Shove It. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Tyler Snodgrass. Joining me, as always, is he's holding on to your ass like Levi's jeans. It's Danny Moffitt.
You're damn right I am. I love a good butt. Are you kidding me? What's going to be wrong with that? I think everybody does. Like, this is... You know,
may I just say, yeah, yeah, to that.
Give me some tunes. Anyway, how to do you shovelos, you shove heads, you dirty little shovel fuckers. You're trying to push the tush. You're trying to shove the love. You're trying to give everything you can to this because we love you. My name is Danny Muff.
We have been leading up to this episode. For weeks, we have been so excited to listen to the album, first of all, and cover it. And I think now we've both listened to it several times. So hopefully we can give some semi-coherent yeah. thoughts on this sprawling, confusing, multi-genre album.
It's giant.
It's a giant album. I mean, she said it took her 5 years to make. And I heard somewhere that she recorded like 100 songs and pared it down
Good
to 27.
Good Lord. I mean...
Isn't that crazy?
That is insane. That's absolutely insane. I mean, here's the thing. I think it fucking rules.
I think it's great. I was going to ask your immediate take. And yeah, I would say it's great. I was asking some friends. Our friend Steven Taylor had simple but definite words. He just said it goes yeah. hard. And yeah.
It goes hard in a lot of different... Like, it took 5 years because she was like studying country music. As we talked about before, right? She was like
yeah.
going through the old history pages and the old song books and everything and understanding it because mm-hmm. she's already mastered pop, you know, or...
Sure. And yeah. R&B and dance and hip hop
yeah.
and so many different...
And then yeah. she's, you know, understanding the thing that we, I think, both understand too, that like country music is like black music. So she's like taking it mm-hmm. back in a fantastic way and progressing it so quickly.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's a true work of art, this album.
Yes. That's what I feel about it also. It's like, I don't think it's like a perfect album. I think it's a complicated album, but I also think as a
yeah, but like
project,
Salvador Dali was a complicated guy, you know. So it's like
no, for sure, yeah. I don't even mean that as like a criticism. I mean, it's like it's hard to ever call it an album perfect, and I feel like Beyonce is, on this album is pulled in so many different directions that it's hard to know what to make of it. But it's clearly a singular
yeah.
project that is trying to expand the listener's understanding of what genre
yes.
is. And there's even moments where she intentionally changes genres in the song and interpolate songs from different genres. And there's like a moment where Linda Martell, a still living black female country music singer, the first black woman to ever be on the Grand Ole Opry, introduces a song by saying, you know, genre is a funny thing. And then makes some remarks about our closed-minded perceptions of what genre is before jumping into a song that I think it's Yaya that truly.
Which Yaya is so good. My family living down in America. Good old USA. She had a whole lot of red and then white and blue. History can't be erased. Ooh. Are you looking for a new America? Are you tired working time and a half for half the pay? So good.
That song rules. It's so cool.
It's such a good song. I like had to, I put it on replay. Like I let it play and then I went right back and hit replay when I'm trying to listen to the whole album throughout. You know what I mean? I just had to go back.
Right. No, yeah, that's a song. That is a showstopper. Yeah. You're going to return to Yaya for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I like the idea because you brought up like the Willie Nelson, like he's acting almost as like a radio host, you know, of course it's what he's doing. That happens several times through the album where even just the sound of like someone changing the radio dial. Yeah. And because this is multi-genre album. And so it's like going through your fucking, it's like riding in your dad's car. And you know what I mean? He's like, this song, I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. And just like you hear the like static and then find the dial and that, which is like so, it's so smart in my opinion too. I mean, nobody's done that since like Sturgill Simpson did it with that
Sound of Fury.
Yeah.
His rock album. Yeah.
Yeah.
His apocalyptic rock.
That was also partnered with an anime movie.
Yeah, an anime on Netflix. Yeah.
What a
so
fucking
crazy.
Weirdo. What a great weirdo.
That was a real, like, neat. No, I loved that album, but that was like a Neil Young level.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we even.
Yeah. You're totally right. That was Neil Young level weirdo. But,
it was like, what? That's so confusing. I guess he was like, everybody's making a visual album. Why don't I make mine?
Anime.
A Southern rock anime. Yeah. So crazy. But yeah, I love that song. I love that song interpolates multiple other songs, including These Boots Are Made for Walking. For some reason.
Yeah, there's all kinds of samples in here.
Shows up
there's
in
just
it.
Like, we were talking about like Me First and the Gimme Gimmes a few weeks ago and how they'll throw like punk songs from like the Misfits and shit like that, like into their songs as a version of tribute, I would say. That happens a lot on this album.
There's a lot of covers, there's a lot of rewritten covers, and there's a lot of what is called interpolating, which is when you take the lyrics or the melody of a song, but you redo it, like you slow it down and you re-record it yourself, or you slightly change the melody, but you keep the words the same. Like, obviously, her cover of Jolene is not a cover. It's a rewrite.
It's a rewrite for sure.
Jolene, Jolene, Jolene.
And it's great.
I think it's a really cool song. I had listened to another podcast where they were not super on board. They were saying that it like harkens too much back to Lemonade, and they're like, we already heard Lemonade, we don't need this.
But why would you want a second Lemonade? Okay, I'm saying that on multiple levels too, by the way. You know what I mean?
Yes, because Lemonade's
also why wouldn't
phenomenal.
You want a second Lemonade from Beyonce? Why wouldn't you just want another glass of fucking lemonade? Just fucking have some, enjoy something. Yeah. It's not hard.
Yeah, I think it's cool. And she wrote new verses to it, like musically too. Like there's new instrumentation that I think really fits it well.
I'ma stand by him, he gon' stand by me.
I'ma stand by her, she gon' stand by me.
I'ma stand by him, he gon' stand by me. Tony.
But I was also like, okay, I think it's cool that she took this song that was about a woman being anxious and panicked about her man being stolen and flipped it on its head in a way that is extremely 2024 mm-hmm. and is extremely Beyonce, and if we're keeping it in the country realm, is honestly very Loretta Lynn of her. You know,
there's like a real fist. That's exactly what I thought.
To this rewrite. That's
exactly what I thought. But she's taking a Dolly song and making it into a Loretta song, and a Beyonce song. I mean, we're literally talking about three of the most powerful women to ever happen in American music history.
Right. Yeah. And I don't even know that the Loretta thing is intentional, but like, that's a connection I couldn't not draw. You know, like that's the first thing I thought was, this is the Fist City of Jolene, but it took Beyonce to make that happen. Right.
Her voice is so killer on this record. The whole record all the way through. I think it's the best it's ever sounded, to be honest.
That's what I was going to say. I think it might be the best vocal production she's ever had. And in her own words, I know that they kind of have to say this when a new album comes out, but in her own words, she said that this is, to her, the best music she's ever made. Is this album.
I'm not going to tell her she's wrong. You don't tell Beyonce she's wrong. I'm not going to tell her she's wrong on that. And I'm also maybe, I mean, come on, because I love so much of Beyonce. But this record, like, truly floored me.
It's a journey. Yeah, it's not, I mean, she always is killer, right? There's a reason why she is who she is, right? There's a reason why Beyonce is the winningest
Grammy
performer of all time, and why she's a force to be reckoned with. But this album is so intentional, and clearly they did so much work and left so much off the album that this is exactly what they wanted. Everything about this album has purpose.
It's like it's weird to say this, but it's like a Sgt. Pepper's or an Exile on Main Street level album for a great artist. Like, I mean, I'm talking about the Beatles and the Stones, and everybody loves them and knows their work, and they know that those are two of the standouts of their entire career. And this is one for me, for Beyonce.
Totally agree. Speaking of the Beatles,
there's
a cover of Blackbird.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life.
Track two. We get a cover of Blackbird. And Blackbird also is not a country song, but it is a song that was written about the civil rights movement and about Black women being excluded. And so she repurposes it and brings in a number of active Black female country music singers who probably most people don't know, but because of the way streaming works, guess what? There's a link to their name now, and you can listen to each of them, right? And you can find their stuff. And that's pretty cool because, for example, Brittany Spencer, who is great, just released an album this year. And it's like, oh, you want to listen to Brittany Spencer's 2023 album or 2024 album? Sorry. Well, just click that link right in Beyonce's Spotify page and you get access to this other Black country artist, right? So I think that was a cool move on
people
her part.
People are definitely doing that, for one thing, just by the way, because like, if you just look, this album came out less than a week ago.
At the time of this recording, yes, less than a week ago.
American Requiem, the title track, or not the title track, the opening track, 13 million plus listens just on Spotify. Texas Hold'em, which everybody knows at this point, 247 million. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's insane. Like, insane, the Beyonce effect. You know what I mean? Just like, and she sometimes just releases albums without fucking letting anybody know.
Just drop them. Yeah, this was an
That was promotion.
She really wanted to draw us in. I think she wanted to prepare people for this album, right? Because it is her venturing into country. But as she stated in her official statement, this ain't a country album. It is a Beyonce album, right? And that is very clear, right? There's a lot of aspects of it that are like inspired by country or Americana or the West or Louisiana, but sonically are not that, right? And that's all on purpose too, right? She's like, she's not having to record a song that fits in with what else is on country radio. She's trying to expand our understanding and be like, okay, you don't want me in the country genre when I gave you a country song in 2016. here's an entire album that is going to challenge your perception of genre. Right. 27
That's the
times.
Thing that I really love about this album. It does challenge my perception of the genre of country, because it was labeled to be a country record, basically. You know what I mean?
Right.
Intentionally, that was the word put out there. And then listening to it, I'm like, this is fucking out there, man. And it rules. It's like got cosmic country involved with it. It's got fucking like just old school bluegrass and folk. It's got fucking, it literally has everything, but it has everything all at the same time.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
Yeah.
Every single song has all of that stuff.
Yes. There is everything from like R&B and pop and trap to like gospel, opera, Brazilian funk. Like, there is truly everything on this album.
I don't like bringing this guy up, but you know, Richard Wagner, you know what I'm talking about? The old composer. He did like Fly to the Valkyries and stuff like that.
I just know the Wagner Charkey, and he was which is not the food. Propane grill. Yeah.
Taste the meat, not the heat. But it sucks because Wagner was like a terrible anti-Semite, you know, and like that's not cool.
Oh, okay.
And he was also Hitler's favorite composer, also not cool.
Not the best, yeah. That's not a credit you necessarily
But he
want.
Did have this belief in a thing called Augustumwerk, which is every art form all at once. So it'd be visual, musical, dramatic, comedic, like everything. All at once. And I felt bad when I was listening to this that it reminded me of Wagner, but I was like, shit. Yeah, this is pretty much a full piece of art.
She is doing it all. And so something about this album that some people love and some people have tried to pan her for is that this is in many ways a revenge album, the way Lemonade kind of was also, right? Lemonade was a brilliant artistic revenge response to being cheated on. And this album, people have kind of put together because of some very direct lyrics that suggest so. But this is an artistic revenge response to being denied access, first of all, to the country genre, but also denied Album of the Year by the Grammys. So many times.
Yeah. Which it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense, right?
What she said makes sense. Critics would say that the lack of nominations doesn't make any sense. Just to clarify. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And so critics have said, like, she's Beyonce. She should get over it. Why is she bringing this up on this album? And I can understand that point if you don't really think about it. But I feel like this entire album is a criticism of gatekeepers and their perception of genre. And it makes complete sense thematically that in a song, she would bring up, hey, I should have won Album of the Year multiple times already. Like, if you think I'm worthy of the awards, give it to me for good. Don't give it to me because I'm in the black genre, you know, which is what has happened.
Yeah.
And I think it makes sense. I think thematically it is on point. And it's like, yeah, this is entirely an album about overcoming exclusion. And
no, so, yeah. So much of that like threads through the entire album, which I love that part of it all too. It's just like, god damn, this album is it's a thick album. Okay,
maybe it's a dense album.
It's a dense album. There you go. Like, I'm not talking about Beyonce so much when I say that. I'm just saying that this is a big old album, and I'm still getting through it. You know, like Levi's Jeans, Jesus Christ, I love that song.
Boy, I let you be my Levi's Jeans, so you can hug that ass all day long. Call me a sexy little thing, snap a picture, bring it on.
You know, that song is really fun. That's a song I really, okay, upon my first listen, I was like, this song's a skip for me. And the more I hear it, the more I'm like, okay, this song's actually a bop.
It's so fun.
It's really
catchy. It's fun. And it makes all the sense. It makes all the sense because that's what you do. That's what you do when you're at your damn dive bar. You smack your lady's butt and you go for a little dance. That's what you do.
It's extremely country. I mean, because as we've done an episode on, blue jeans are a trope in country. And she actually found a new thing to say about it, which is
thank God.
Thank God, finally. And it includes Post Malone, who is a person that has been flirting with country for a long time. It almost
kissing cousins.
I wonder if this like foreshadows an official country release from him, because
I think it does.
He's sounding plenty country on it.
There's an Instagram video of him right now covering Sturgill Simpson.
Right. Yeah.
The song that we've covered.
Oh yeah. You can have
The crown. You can have the crown. Yeah. Post Malone's doing it and it sounds good.
He's a good singer. And then he did the national anthem this year at the Super Bowl, and he played acoustic guitar and did it in like a country styling. And then Post Malone is also on this new thing that's called Hicks Tape, which is something I'm just now becoming really aware of, but a country music producer put out a bunch of re-recordings of Joe Diffie songs, and it's called Hicks Tape.
No way. It's all Joe Diffie?
It's all Joe Diffie, and he sings on it. Yeah, I believe he sings Pickup Man. Let me double check on that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's a project called Hicks Tape, and Hicks Tape Volume 3 is called Diff Tape, and Post Malone is the vocalist on the cover of Pickup Man.
Yeah, he's gonna do it. I can call it. Yeah, let's go ahead and call it.
I think it's gonna happen. He's getting in there for sure.
Yeah, but she has so many other like great.
Let's
not
talk
just
about some other songs.
Sketches from Willie Nelson, you know, of course, but you know, Dolly P. That's just one of those also like just skits.
Yeah, the Linda Martell Show.
But it's Dolly Parton. And to go right into Jolene.
That's right. Yeah.
Trying to just say, like, who the people that she has on the record with
Miley
her.
Cyrus.
They
have an incredible cover. Or an incredible duet.
Yeah, I'll be your backseat, baby. Driving you crazy. Anytime you like. Whoa. I'll be your shotgun rider. Till the day I die.
Know that they actually have done a recorded song together before, but their voices work so well together. And also,
it's
it goes
amazing
to show, and I won't throw any direct shade, but it's so clear that Miley Cyrus is actually one of the best singers in pop music right now, and I don't know that she gets the credit compared to some people that are way beneath her vocally. But Miley Cyrus is an amazing vocalist.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, you don't get to have Dolly Parton as your godmother without being able to fucking hold a tune. You know, like that's insane. Like, no, she's great on the album.
There's a singer named Willie Jones that she does a duet with. That is a black country singer. He's like a country trap kind of person. And
on Just for Fun.
Yeah. And he's great. He does a great job. I wasn't even aware of him. And this is just one of those instances where Beyonce's doing a great job of honoring the past, right? She's got three legends on the album. And then she's also pushing country forward by bringing up people that are in the pop realm or used to be in the country realm or are in the country realm, but are not household names. You know, so she is really covering a lot of ground, even though there's not that many features, given that it's 27 songs. There could be more.
Yeah. Well, it's like, here's my criticism.
Sure.
Let's be honest about one thing. It's about 22 songs and 5 sketches.
Yes. No, for sure.
But I love the sketches.
Yeah. 27 tracks. Maybe we should put it that way.
Yeah. But I love the sketches are fantastic. Yeah, this is a thought together.
I feel like this could be one of those things where eventually we get like the B-sides released, and it's one of those things where the B-sides might actually be better than the album, but it didn't fit like as coherently. But I could see that being the case.
Yeah.
I could see that maybe there's a world where there's more acoustic, more country sounding tracks that were left off. and we get this later. That could be a real thing.
We get the Jackass 2.5 version of
yeah. Carly well, it's Carter. Like, to give a couple examples, Carly Rae Jepsen released that a great pop album, and I'm not much of a pop guy, but she released a great pop album several years ago called Emotion, and then she released the B-sides to Emotion, and I was like, how in the hell is it that the B-sides album is better than the album I already liked? And
it happens sometimes.
And then like Sufjan Stevens, you know, I love my Suf, he released the seminal album Illinois.
It's a cold day, I need some Suf.
Take a little Suf, order up.
Yeah. Chicken. Ding, ding, ding,
ding. Oh no. Oh no. Yes, I've unlocked I've unlocked a new character.
I don't know. You ever Illinois? I get my baby going on here. You know, ding, ding, ding. Order up. You got the swinger blade in here. And he's gonna talk about some sad music from a sad man for a second.
And we're gonna mention John Wayne Gacy real quick. He murdered a bunch of boys.
Yeah, a little bit. He hurt some people. Hurt people. Anyway, ding, 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 ding. Order up.
But anyway, so Sufi had released a B-sides album called The Avalanche, which, you know, real sad boys out there will know, is also just like phenomenal.
That's what happens when you get a bunch of snow falling down the mountain and people get caught in it. Sometimes they get stuck and you got to call in a helicopter. You got to do ding, 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 order up. We need a helicopter in here because we got the damn swinger blade. I can't find them.
They're gone.
They're but gone. Anyway. That's what Swinger Blade always thinks. They're gone.
That's all. So anyway, I am all to say, I am hoping there is a world in which we get Act 2.5 to connect it to your Jackass analogy, which I think works actually, and we get whatever is on there, and maybe it's more genre bending, genre combining, but also maybe it's more of the country sound that was not completely the traditional country sound, I should say, that wasn't completely explored here. Though I do think that the amount of acoustic instrumentation on this album works for Beyonce well, and it rules. I was like, yeah, Beyonce should have been doing more acoustic stuff the whole time. I want to hear her MTV Unplugged. Like, what is that like?
Yeah, that would be amazing. I think it gives it the space for her. Like, we can't fucking deny that her voice has been fantastic the entire time. All the way from Destiny's Child to solo career and everything. You know, fantastic. Yeah. But I think that using a little bit more acoustic instrumentation truly like lets her voice have the space to shine.
Yeah.
It's the best I've heard.
Yeah. I can't say enough about the quality of like the vocal production on this album. It's truly, I feel like it's unreal. Every time I listen to it, I feel like I notice a new vocal phrasing or I notice a new harmony, and like her, her voice is really an instrument.
Yeah.
That is on display in a huge way on this album.
Yes. Yeah. I like it. I mean,
big fan.
Show off. Fucking go for it. You're the fucking queen, do it. And she does it and it rules.
So people predict that Act 3, because this is allegedly a trilogy project, is going to be a rock album, right? It's going to be something that honors like Sister Rosetta Tharpe and Tina Turner and like the other like rock queens that had to work so hard. And I feel like this album teases a little bit of that, if that is true, that is, because there is a lot of like, there are a lot of moments where she dips into like this, like James Brown, Sly Stone, Tina Turner-esque, like soul scream, and there's like horns that show up. There's like a lot of Louisiana, like kind of Southern almost rock feel. And then there are a few times where I'm listening, I'm like, this is big Fleetwood Mac vibes. Did you notice that also?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yes, absolutely. I was going to bring that up, so I'm glad you did. Yeah, there were times where, because like Fleetwood Mac to me is just always that band where, unless it's like The Chain, everything else is like, I feel like I'm floating. Yeah. Like, it's just breezy and sweet and soft. And there's moments that happen in this album that feel so good like that. And then they'll just go straight into some fucking hardcore, half psychedelic fucking rock and country. And it's the album is a journey.
Definitely. Yeah, there's a lot.
It's like the... It's like a country music version of the Iliad, you know? It's
man. Like,
there's going to be like so much that happens.
And I mean, there's like, there's references to previous albums. There's references to Beyonce lore. There's references to Act One. There is, we'll have to wait and see, but potentially references to Act Three based on like the amount of rock that shows up. Like, there are several Fleetwood Mac sounding moments, as I said, and one in particular is the Miley Cyrus song, which sounds so much like Landslide. It can't be an accident. It feels like, but it's not like, it's not a ripoff. It's also not a sample. It just is like, this is supposed to make us feel like the way Landslide makes us feel. And there's another song that feels a lot like Old Dust Woman to me, which also has been covered by country artists.
So many. Waylon, right?
Yeah, Waylon and Willie covered it.
Waylon and Willie, that's my favorite one of them, the covers. But
definitely.
Now, well, and also, who else? There's so many people that covered Gold
Dust. Gold Dust Woman's a huge song. Oh, and then one other thing is...
Giant.
Beyonce is always on this album making sure that when a classic country song is referenced or interpolated or whatever, that it is done specifically her way. And she does her own version of I Fall to Pieces by Patsy Cline on the song Sweet Honey Buckin', which is also just like a genre tour de force. Like, it's all over the place. And it's also...
It's also everywhere. It's literally everywhere. Horse
like 100 times, which is
that's a drinking game.
Look at that horse, look at that horse, look at that horse. Pretty as hell on natural, done it on Mars.
It's like every time Beyonce says horse in that cut, in that
look
song,
at that you horse, just look at that horse, look at that, and you're just getting
you're
hammered.
Just wasted in 3.5 minutes.
It's
like, but it's a great song.
Yeah, that song is really fun. So maybe we take a let's talk about some of our other favorites. So obviously we really like Yaya, we like the Miley Cyrus song, you like Levi's Jeans. What are some others that like stand out to you across all these tracks?
I really love the back to back of 16 Carriages and Protector.
I think Protector is really good. Yeah.
And there I was, tangled up in marigold. We were listening to the reverend children singing. Humming low as the garden river flows, while the August light becomes a golden evening.
They flow into each other so well.
16 Carriages is great too. That's a coming of age song.
Yeah.
It leads into a song that is about a daughter who... So like that's a perfect combo. 16 Carriages, by the way, you know, there's like that stomp sort of rhythm. I wish I had come up with this on my own, but I learned this from another podcast. But their theory was that harkens back to work songs, like work spirituals.
I mean, that's all I thought.
Which is what, you know,
it, when I heard it,
which is what birthed country music, was that kind of music.
Yeah.
And it's a song about work and having her innocence taken because she had to work while she was so young, and now she just like keeps it going, but it's still work. And her life is it's a pretty powerful song.
16 carriages driving away while I watch them ride with my dreams away to the summer sunset on a holy night on a long black road. All the tears I fight
16 carriages driving away while I watch them ride with my dreams away to the...
It is great. There's layers to that lasagna in that song for her specifically as, you know, an autobiographical story.
Yeah, that's a pretty awesome 1-2 punch right there. I mean, really, the first four tracks will have your jaw on the floor. American Requiem.
Fuck yeah. Like this American Requiem rules. Is insane.
It's so good.
Used to say I spoke to country. Then the rejection came, said I wasn't country enough. Said I wouldn't settle up. If that ain't country, tell me what is.
It's an insane song to start an album out with, but it kind of, you know, we talk about this sometimes about like some artists when they have an intention, the first track is, you know, the thesis statement.
Yeah.
And that's what that is for sure.
Definitely.
And
it's like the overture of a rock opera.
It is clear.
It's like the Tommy overture. Like, it's like, here's the vibe.
Yeah.
It's all over the place and you're going to love it.
Yeah. But what one thing I love about it so much, and one thing I love about this album so much, is the talk of like, trying to spread love and peace. Mm-hmm. That comes up so much on this album. I don't know. I think we live in a pretty angry world, and I think people need to fucking wake up and learn how to and just be happy with each other.
Amen. Which is also the last track on the album.
Yeah. Like, I'm not mad at anybody, you know? I wish people weren't mad at each other.
Yeah, it'd be easier. But
how do we fix it? You know, we got to talk about it.
Let me see what else has stuck out to me. I think the song Flamenco is pretty cool. I think that's a fun one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're all, it's really hard to narrow down. Two Hands to Heaven is really great. Tyrant is really cool also. But I mean, if you just make me, I'm going to start just naming every song in a random order.
It's just going to be every song because it's honestly, I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there right now. It's a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah. And I feel like every time I listen to it, my opinion changes. I discover new things. It has grown on me every time I've listened to it, but it's dense. There's a lot happening. Yeah. There's a lot to process. It's not a casual listening album. It's intentionally challenging, but luckily it's also really good.
Yes. Well, I like that kind of stuff.
Same.
And you do too. I mean, you fucking listen to Yes. You know,
I've thrown my
you like a challenging listen.
I'm here for a challenge. I'm listening to music on hard mode.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And I kind of do too, but not those bands.
Fair enough.
I would rather listen to Adam Hartmother, but. That's a dense list.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like from Pink Floyd. Animals, that's a big one.
Yeah.
You know.
No. I don't go as far as like a Trout Mask Replica. Because even then I'm like, why did we do this? I draw the line somewhere and it's around Frank Zappa.
Yeah. You gotta. Oh yeah, but there's some Zappa that rules.
There is some Zappa that rules, but it's hard to find a whole album where you're like,
yeah, exactly.
I can get through this and just with a smile on my face.
But that's not what we're saying about this one. We're saying
this album. I've listened straight through as best as I can. I mean, it is a long album, but I have listened to it with no skips. Very happily multiple times at this point.
Yeah. I mean, and I think it's going to start getting heavy in my rotation. I really like the sound of it, the production quality, her voice, just the fucking whole mix of genres it's amazing. Yeah.
And again, I know we're using the word intentional a lot, but she's really shoving the variety of talents that she has in everybody's face, right? And
that's probably what I like the most about it. It's like, you are the best and show us, and you did. I love that.
I think she's very determined to be like, you would like to pin me down in one genre, and after this many years in the business, I'm not going to let you do that anymore. You're not even going to be able to know how to label me. I just am Beyonce. That's the genre now.
What was it like last week? We were talking about how, Neil Young, Prince, Bruce Springsteen, Dolly Parton, and then go ahead and throw fucking Beyonce into that, mm-hmm. because they're just music.
Yeah. They're untouchable, right? They're just so monumental to music culture and music history at this point that, yeah, I don't know.
Can't be pigeonholed, won't be pigeonholed, yeah. And have the fuck you money to say I won't be too. So yeah. That's pretty mm-hmm. cool. You know, I'm cool with that. Your husband owns a basketball team.
Yeah. So I feel like I should throw out some,
but she probably makes more money than him
at this point. Well, yeah, probably. I don't know. Yeah,
definitely. Probably. Which is good.
Yeah, that is good.
I think it's great.
Yeah, she's got to pay for those 16 carriages. So, you know, she needs the,
yeah, yeah.
I think it's only fair if I issue some amount of criticism in terms of like,
yeah, come on.
What I would have liked to have also seen. I really have enjoyed the album all the way through. If I'm going to be picky, if you make me be picky, what do I wish I had heard? I would have loved more pedal steel on this album.
Sure. You know? It shows up a little bit,
but for something that is like, so, you know, that is going so hard into like, occasional country sonics and country imagery, especially like Western imagery. I feel like some pedal steel would have really brought it on this album. I think that would have been really good. I mean, I love the song Texas Hold'em and I love the banjo usage on it. I think that's cool, but I think even there probably could have been more banjo. It's highlighted on that one song, but
yeah, that song's a little more stomp and holler.
It is very stomp and holler. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But it's a cool song, and Rhiannon Giddens is playing a really, really fun, catchy riff on it. Mm-hmm. So those are like some musical criticisms that I have, or really just wishes more so than criticisms. But the other wishes, I guess, I have, and maybe this exists on these secret B-sides that we have, that we're manifesting will exist. I feel like, and I mean, Beyonce doesn't owe anybody anything, but you know, this being an album in which she is trying to like kick the door down and then kick the wall the door was attached to down in the country music world,
she's trying to rip down the fucking house.
She's trying to lift up the house and throw it into the sea, so it's just a floor plan. She's
trying to burn the damn barn, exactly. You know, she's
but you know, it's, you know, she's doing it for the sake of like, or it seems to be, she is, this album is created to be like, I was excluded from a genre and from like a music institution, you know, 8 years ago, and no one should have to feel that way. And so I'm gonna prove a point by going to number one on the country charts and being the first Black woman to ever do it. And that's amazing. And probably nobody but Beyonce could have done that. And having said that, I think I would have liked to have seen more features from people like Yola, from Mickey Guyton, from like Amethyst Kia.
Yola would have crushed on this record.
And I think, and maybe those songs exist and they're out there somewhere, but I feel like that would have been really cool to see. Cause even though there are multiple features on the song Blackbird, it's all harmonies, and it would have been really tight to have seen like some more duets. I mean, you get like, I don't know, the War and Treaty on there. Even just, you know, like more up and coming women in general, like Sierra Farrell, you know, something like that would have been pretty tight. And that's bold of me as a white guy to put that out there. But I think that would have been really.
There's still time, though, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, truly, maybe that exists and I'll be, you know, eating my lunch and spitting it out of joy when they are dropped all of a sudden. But that's all to say.
You're going to be spilling your soup.
I'll spill my soup. I hope I get to. But anyway, that's just something as I've listened to the album a couple times and thought about it. And I know that Beyonce has released this album not only as like an artistic, you know, venture, but as a bit of a political statement. I thought it would be really cool to see more of those artists also present. And maybe, sure. maybe they exist on other tracks. I don't know. I'm just going to put that out there, to be fair, just so it doesn't sound like we're only kissing butt the entire episode.
Yeah. In the defense of Beyonce, though, this is an hour and 20 minutes.
It is, yes. I don't know where record. You would fit more things. So, good point.
This is a Scorsese film of an album. That's a good point. Like, you can't just throw out fucking like 19 more songs on this.
No, for sure. You could not.
You gotta, you know. That's my opinion.
At some point, you're out there. That's true. Is there anything else in particular we should cover, you think? Anything that sticks out?
I mean, I just really appreciate that this album is actually something that happened. You know what I'm saying?
True. I would have never guessed this. Even after talking about Daddy Lessons at length on a different episode, I would not have predicted we would get an hour and 20 minute long Beyonce album. An hour and 20 minute long country focused Beyonce album. That I could have never.
Right. It's so interesting to me, and it's so good, and it shows so much talent, because I don't know, there were moments, if you want me to be slightly critical,
you are welcome to.
There were moments that I felt a little bit of like the, you know, Morgan Wallen, like sort of like hip hop sort of thing happening. Yeah. But I realized it was being done at such a much more superior level that I actually liked it.
Yeah. And so like her incorporating trap beats and stuff like that into country music, obviously that is what is taking off in country pop at the moment. And to me, it sounds really annoying, but it's also a lot of times because the production is weak, the vocals are bad, and the vocals are badly auto-tuned. And it's not even that I inherently hate that kind of beat, but I think the production is bad or the music is shallow. And there is not anything shallow about this album. There's also nothing fake about Beyonce's voice, right? Like, it doesn't need to be adjusted, and she's not putting
on that. Be an insult,
exactly, right?
That's asking for A1 sauce when you get a fucking steak from Gordon Ramsay or something, you know? Like, it's an insult.
You know, she has some draw to her because she's from Texas and she has Louisiana roots as well, but there is no fake twang in her voice that we get from so much pop country that is, you know, and I feel like with a lot of pop country, you get a combination of like pandering twang and sometimes like a black scent, which is so gross and weird.
It's just straight up rude.
So, I don't know. She is when she is incorporating like trap beats and combining it with acoustic music, I don't know. It just generally the level of quality is higher than what we're getting on Hot 100 country or whatever.
Well, it's also just, I love the fact that like I could start a song on this album and feel like what she's talking about in a very soulful and country way, and then in the middle of it I'm fucking dancing because I'm listening to Beyonce being Beyonce in the middle of a country song. You know what I mean? It just is like so genre bending, and I love it.
Yeah, it's really fun in that way. And I do agree with you. I mean, generally I don't have a lot of love for like the hip hop. So like, you know, like the song like Spaghetti doesn't really do it for me the way other songs on the album do.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that song is bad. It's just like, that's not one of the ones that I'm not putting on repeat the way I'm putting on like Yaya or Two Hands to Heaven on repeat. You know what I mean? But that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, Yaya's the one.
That one's so fun.
That's my favorite, but I have to go through it again. You know, it's a lot to listen to.
Yeah. a lot to listen to. And I think it's worth also saying this. This would have made more sense to bring up earlier, but there are, I think, some subtle tributes to other black artists that blended genre throughout their career. Like Charles, like the Pointer Sisters. There is definitely like that sort of vibe, especially when you get into like when she dips into like soul territory, like that really comes through, because I mean, there's like 20 genres packed onto this album, and she's like weaving through them, and I don't know. It's, yeah.
But she's weaving through them with such amazing ease.
I know. Yeah. It's...
That's what's wild to me about this album. That's what I like the most about it, too.
It gives you a lot to work with. It's like, okay, so I do like the new Kacey Musgraves album, for example. I think that it is a breezy, nice, cool time. It's focused. It's catchy. It's gentle. It's thoughtful. But it's kind of one sound the whole time. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Beyonce is giving you a lot more to chew on sonically, right? Like, you are going to notice a lot of new stuff, or at least a new thing, every time you listen to Cowboy Carter. And that will probably be the case for a while, because it's just so packed with stuff.
Yeah. You can get the cheeseburger, you can get the Big Mac. It's your choice. They're both there. They're both there, you know?
Yeah.
And they're both great.
They're both good.
Too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining, and that's not a dig at Kacey. I've been listening to her album a whole lot.
That's what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that's a bigger burger.
Right. No, it is. Yeah. There's more bread in it. There's a whole other bun in here.
Whole lot of lettuce.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Special sauce. Right.
Yep.
Sesame seed bun. This is, you know, this is like that, but if we're going to compare your total, like the cheeseburger, and I love a cheeseburger, plain cheeseburger.
Hey, I'll take a Kacey cheeseburger in paradise, even, you know what I mean?
Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me? You're right. That Kacey Musgraves album it's just the simple breezy album. That's really good and really
it's
great.
Doing exactly what just it needs like to a, do. It's super consistent. But, you know, if you have like a desert island, like, what are you going to be trapped on? You're only allowed to listen to this one thing. You might pick the album that has a shit ton of stuff going on so that you can, like, you know,
you might get the Big Mac.
You might experience some.
It was what I'm saying. It's totally. Like, that's there's a lot more happening on the Big Mac. Why do I relate everything to food?
Well,
I'm a foodman. That's when I'm going to start calling myself at work.
You're also passionate about it. Also, people can relate. I'm a foodman. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah.
You got to eat.
Everybody eats. That's true. Or they should.
Anyway, I feel like there's also so much to say about this album that we could talk for a long time, and I would forget things that I want to say. So we might just have to start wrapping it up, and, you know, maybe at some point we return to this. But I would like to put out there, Shovel O's, who have made it this far into the episode, thank you so much for listening. If you've got thoughts on Cowboy Carter, send us a message. Maybe we will include this in like a bonus episode or another addendum episode to this one. But if you'd like to reach out and give us your thoughts, you can DM us at Take This Pod and Shove It on Instagram. You can email us at takethispodandshoveit@gmail.com. Or if you're on the Patreon, you know, you can send us a message right through the page. If you want to access the Patreon, it's patreon.com/takethispod. And you know the deal from here. You've heard the ad breaks that are just us talking about the Patreon. But, you know, there's tiers. You can choose how much you want to support the show for. We will love you eternally for supporting. You get a 7-day free trial. There's bonus episodes. There's all sorts of good stuff. But if you're on the Patreon, that'd be a good way to hit us up. If I can issue one other piece of criticism, and then we'll do our plugs and end the episode. Obviously, this album is great. Is it as good as her work on the Austin Powers Gold member soundtrack? Unfortunately, not.
What was her name? Foxy.
Foxy Cleopatra.
Foxy Cleopatra.
Isn't it so great? I sometimes remember, like, oh my gosh, before, back when Beyonce was Beyonce Knowles instead of Beyonce, she was an actor in the worst Austin Powers movie as the romantic lead. That's so
but she was good in it, though.
She's not bad. I'm just saying, like, that's like,
yeah,
she would never do that now.
No, why would you? How would you even convince? How would you convince her?
I don't know. That's just one of those things where that feels like a Mandela effect thing, where, like, I feel like one day I'm going to be like, remember when Beyonce was like, in the third Austin Powers movie, and everyone's going to be like, what are you talking about? That never happened.
It totally happened.
It totally happened. Don't let...
Was that Gold Member?
Gold Member. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had two copies of that at one point. On DVD.
That was a big DVD owning era, for sure.
Well, that's because my dad forgot that. I got them for Christmas at the same time. Because my mom got me one. And then my dad...
Also got me one. They didn't communicate about this.
They didn't talk about it at all. And then they're like, well, this guy, he likes this Austin Powers stuff. So I opened up two fucking Gold Members on my, I don't know, what was that? Like 14th birthday or something? I don't know, 30? I don't know. I don't know how old I fucking was.
30? Possibly.
Yeah, I went from 14 to 30. I don't know how old I am.
Regular Jennifer Gardner over here.
Yeah. Nah, I was probably 19.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it came out when I was in 7th grade, so.
Yeah.
Or 8th grade, maybe. Anyway.
Two of those and two dodgeballs. That happened. It happened again later.
That's hilarious. Two movies of the era, certainly. Those were comedies of a time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I did the goof every time too, where we would watch it, and then I would take it out of the DVD player, and I go, "All right, time for another movie," and I would just
put in the back new in. One. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, yeah.
That's so funny. That's a good bit. I like that bit.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid bit. You know.
Good, yeah. You know, speaking of comedy of a generation, I will be doing shows. Later this month, check out that transition. I am going to be performing in Brooklyn, New York at the bar Friends and Lovers on Thursday, April 11th. That is this upcoming Thursday. And if you Brooklyn Shovelos, come on out to a show called Hound Dog. It's going to be a good time. Then I'm going to be in Chicago doing shows on Saturday, April 20th and 21st. So I will be at the Paper Machete at the Green Mill Lounge. I will be at a show called Rad at Graham Cracker Comics.
Yeah.
I will be at the Lincoln Lodge then also on Saturday night and Sunday night. It'll be a lot of fun. And then I will be at the Blue Room Comedy Club for Kenny DeFore Fest doing a show. I'll be doing one of the kickoff shows on Thursday, April 25th. And then I don't really know what the rest of the week looks like, but I will be around at the Blue Room Comedy Club for the other shows on the 26th and 27th, all for Kenny DeFore Fest, which is going to be an incredible time. So if you're in Chicago, New York, or Springfield, Missouri, we'd love to see you. Come on through.
Yeah. I'm doing stuff around here. I'm always doing stuff around here.
Wherever here is. Listener, that's where here is. Just keep a lookout.
I didn't plan on this, so I don't have my dates written down. I don't know. I got a busy April.
Good.
And then a pretty busy May. And just follow me at Danny Maupin on the
stuff.
The www computer or whatever, that's Instagram or whatever, and I'll keep y'all posted. Lots coming up, baby.
He stays booked and busy. That's what we like to see.
I'm a live act.
I'm in a live act.
It's alive. Oh, I'll guarantee that recently, I'm not going to know anything that I'm going to say before I go on stage.
Oh, that's fun. That's great.
I'm doing that lately.
Oh, great. You're so good at that.
I'm really enjoying it. It's better than anything I spent the last 14 years of my fucking life on.
You've been prepared for this moment. These improvised shows are your Cowboy Carter. It's all been building to this.
Yeah.
Danny without a net.
Yeah.
We love it. All right. Well, hopefully we'll see you on the road soon. Shovelos, you know where to find us, hopefully. But if nothing else, we'll see you right here next week with another episode of Take This Pod and Shove It.
Take this pod and shove it.